Hey, you be seated. I am your crazy uncle from down under. Yeah, so great to be here. Valerie has lifted the roof in two services today so far. And honey, because you're not speaking this service, I am, because I'm here. Say hi to my wife. Say hi. We've been married 36 years. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. She's been training me all that time. So my insurance policy that I'm not going to be, sort of traded in, is she's invested a lot so far into train me to, be the husband that, train up a husband in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. But listen, great to be here. We feel exactly the same way about your pastors. We have a little bit of a perspective here because we work with leaders all over the world. Last year, we traveled 260 nights to many great churches. And I know you know this, but I just want to, as another voice, the leaders that God has given you in this house, they are absolutely top shelf. And we are honored to call them friends. And we feel very much at home. This is my second service. Valerie's preached twice. This is my third service today. And tonight, before I get into the Word, if you are a team member, this won't be the last time you'll see me today, because you'll be there tonight. But listen, even if you're not a team member, we got team night tonight. And you might say, "Oh, I'm not really in a team yet," but I asked Pastor Case, and though it's mainly team members that'll be here, your other service a bit further south, they're coming up as well. We're going to have an incredible night. I love preaching, but I maybe even love a little bit more speaking into leaders. And God's given me a word for tonight with a bit of a prophetic edge. I had a dream, actually, about maybe 4 weeks ago. I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Woke up at 4 a.m. and God gave me a dream of a golden shovel, a golden staff, and a golden vessel. And I actually believe that there's something in that for you. I really want to impart something, not only about your leadership and helping you to engage and see your capacity increased, but I actually think that even in your life, where you are at right now, that God's going to have some things. We'll have some bit of time to pour into you and minister to you and so forth. Does that sound good? We'll see you tonight then. We got three grandkids, and we love to brag on them. This is Aubrey on the left, Frederick, and Montague or Monty on the right. You can't see it obviously in the black and white, but his hair is flaming red. Red in appearance and red by nature, let me tell you. And we're very proud. The reason I show them is not just because we're proud of them, but because it reminds me that God's a generational God. God is the God of Abraham, help me now, Isaac, and Jacob. He even calls himself a three-generational God. So when he's talking about your life, and I know you're in a series at the moment called The Mission. Pastors Casey and Stacy started it off, I think, last week with No God. That's the starting point of The Mission. And while I'm on that, Valerie and I are first-generation Christians. Some of you have heard some of our story from last time. But I love that part, even of the service, the most. At the end of the service, in about 95 minutes, I've got a fair bit to say. I'm going to pray for everyone here that would say, you know what, Michael, my relationship with God is kind of like bottoming out. It's bumping along the bottom. I used to be fervent, but if I can be honest, I'm pretty dry. So I want to right now let you know where we're going to go. With the service today, and I'm going to pray for everyone who'd have the courage, or even those, maybe a friend bought you, or you've been kind of thinking about, you haven't been at church for a long time, we welcome you. There's no condemnation, not so like, oh, finally you came back. No, not at all. We are thrilled you're here. Better still, heaven is thrilled you're here. And I can't wait to do some business with God a bit later on. Also, We're going to have some time at the end of the service, as is the custom. I love that about Key Point, that you're going to get an opportunity to respond to the word. I'm going to pray in a moment, but you get an opportunity to respond to the word. And so just be mindful of things that God kind of stirs in your heart, because we're going to have some amazing leaders down the front as we worship God at the end to really, really pray for you. Is that okay? Yeah. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word's truth. Lord, it's not just a whole lot of stories. Lord, this is the living word of God. And Lord, I thank you that one little nugget, one little portion of this word mixed with faith in the heart of every single person under the sound of my voice right now can literally bring change to our lives. Lord, I speak transformation. Lord, I speak onward and upward. I speak hope where hope has drained out into the heart of every person here. We want to give you all the praise and the glory for what you have done and are doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come with me to Matthew chapter 1. You know, if you go back into your family, we had a gathering a little while ago with four generations of Murphys to celebrate my dad's 90th birthday. I think we might even have a shot up here. That's my dad there. You'll see the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In fact, it's been said to me more than once, you look exactly like your dad. I said, steady on, he's 30 years older than me. But this is actually a better rendering of our family. The next shot. How many got a bit of crazy in your family? Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. You are thinking about someone's name right now. And here's the challenge. If you're not thinking about anyone's name, it's possible everyone's thinking about your name. So a bit of crazy goes a long way. Even so, there can be crazy situations that happen as you start to dig back. A lot of people are getting into family trees and they discover, you know, Uncle Bert was a bank robber or something like that. Oh, didn't want to put that aside, or worse. And in our family, we had some crazy stuff happen. My mum's dad, who was from South Africa, and. Awesome. I love it. I'm going to take you everywhere. You two are so enthusiastic. And Zach, where's Zach? Is Zach here? Zach. You know the book of Revelation. You know, Jesus said, you know, you've done this, you've done that. You know, you were all, like the quiet, strong, fresh authority on your life. But this I have against you, that you couldn't decide what color laces to wear today. What's up? Did you get not much sleep last night or something? Like orange? No, it's the orange. Should I go the orange or green one, darling? What? So, what? No, we'll just go both. What? How many think he should have just made the decision and gone the orange? How many orange? Any saying no? The lime green definitely carries the day. A few more hands. How many thought he should have put on some adult shoes? Right. Love you, man. So back in family, so my grandfather was booked on a ship to go from Cape Town to Perth, Australia, and literally, not metaphorically, missed the boat. Like, got there too late. The boat was gone, and you might say, no, that's terrible. No, that's great, because sadly the boat sunk and 300 people died. He got the next boat. That's a crazy story, right? Like there's things that happen, like prophetic pivots, where you look at it and go, well, I mean, that was a lucky shot that he wasn't on the first boat. I don't believe that. I reckon God's got his hand on generations. And you've had situations in your life where one split second, you know, one situation, and boom, your generation's over. My beautiful wife's dad, he got captured in the Second World War at the on the beach called St. Valery on Co, which is why her name is Valerie, spelt with a Y. That was an epic event in his life, and she was one of the great epic events in his life as well, as she was in mine. He was marched around across Europe and escaped 7 times from POW camps in the Second World War. I'm glad he didn't quit at 6 escapes. If I think about even even my own journey. And again, some of you may have heard this story, but it's particularly poignant for me because it just reminds me of God's amazing grace. At the age of 14, I was sexually abused by a male. Now that messes it. They all mess a young guy up, right? And so I decided not to tell anyone, but I would prove my manhood by just getting in and out of relationships. And that hurt a lot of people in the process. Ended up with a teenage pregnancy at 18. That relationship, though we'd been going out for 18 months at the time, fell badly apart, and the young lady married someone a bit older than her, friend of the family. To be honest, I was a rat bag. The family couldn't wait to see the back of me, and I would have probably done the same thing, to be really truthful. But I decided, I had a great idea. Ever had a great idea, what you thought was a great idea, it wasn't such a great idea? One of those. So I decided to go and see my child unannounced at the hospital. Well, I got turned back at the nurse's station with 2 dozen roses in my hand, which was for the mother, and I went outside. I was as low as low as low. I threw those roses in a trash can, and I was walking along the edge of a street in the inner city, and trucks were flashing by. I can remember the wind up my the back of my neck. And honestly, I could have done something really stupid that day, and those grandkids would never have happened. There are prophetic pivots in your life that I believe God, I believe, I want to prophesy there's a prophetic pivot in many of your lives today. There's some things that you're living at a level way lower than what God is calling you to. And today, I believe the Holy Spirit, not being weird, the Holy Spirit is going to open your heart. Men, look at me for a moment. I love just speaking. If we could sit down, each of us, and have a coffee, I would love to just encourage you. But I want to eyeball you. So often we feel less than spiritually. You know, when ladies look in the mirror, they sort of like, oh, am I pretty enough? You know, guys don't have that problem. No matter what shape you are, you look in the mirror and go, all right. Here's what we say, have I got what it takes? And I want to declare over you, as one man of God to another, you have got more than what it takes. You have got more than enough in Jesus' name. And I believe for many of you, even today, and I'm hanging, I haven't preached this in the previous services. I believe for many of you today, there's a prophetic shift that's going to unlock a whole lot of powerful destiny in the next season. Because that's the heart of God over you. Not neglecting the ladies, please hear me, my heart. 21st century and all that stuff, but I just wanted to take a moment to, hey, come with me to the book of Ruth. Ruth. This is an amazing story. Let me give you a bit of the backstory. Let me read you a verse right up front here. Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God too. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." That's full on. The backstory to that is more than interesting. Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, were living in Israel, and they decided to leave town with their two sons because there was a famine in the land. They went down to a place called Moab. The Moabites live there. You know, there's ites everywhere in the Bible. You know, Girgashites and Hivites and Hittites and Moabites and Muzzybites and all sorts of stuff. So these were the Moabites. They were the enemy of Israel. And they were pagans, basically. So it was a big deal for them to move down there. But at least there was food. The two sons, their names were Mahalon and Chilion. And they all moved down there and life was okay. The two boys married two Moabite girls. They married Orpah and Ruth. And tragically, Elimelech died. The dad died. And so Naomi's left with her two sons and their wives. And then 10 years later, the two sons died. So the three women are left not only grieving emotionally, like incredibly, not only was Naomi in a spiritually foreign nation, but they had no means of support. So they were financially impoverished. So Naomi says, I'm going back. I hear that God has given food to our people back home. I'm cruising on up there. And so they all started to go. Then she gets a little way out of town. She turns around and says, whoa, I have another idea. Go home. Go home to your own Moabite family. Marry a good Moabite boy. That'll be better for you. I'll be looked after by family up there. And they continue with her. Four times she says it. And finally, Orpah taps out. She kisses her mother-in-law and goes back to her own mum and dad. Ruth, on the other hand, says those words. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Because we all know that Jesus is the key and people are the point. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Many say that was the biggest prophetic pivot in Ruth's life. So they get up there and they still haven't got a job. And so Ruth says, I'm going to go and glean. So it's amazing. Think about it, it's like begging. So they harvest the field. They leave the corners for the poor people to kind of pick up some food. So think about the people with cardboard signs that are wanting a bit of a handout. Like she was really, economically, the lowest of the low. That was their social security system. So she's gleaning some food, a bit nervous. So she's engaged in this prophetic pivot to turn her heart toward God. And watch what happens. They happened to go back into town at harvest time. She happened to go onto a field owned by a dude by the name of Boaz, who happened to be a close relative who by law back then had the legal right to redeem her, marry her, get back her property. He happened to be on the field on that day. He happened to see her and notice her, and as we say in Australia, take a shine to her. He looked at her and went, hubba, 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 hallelujah. Who's the chicky babe over there? She was freaking out. She's like, why have you shown me this favor? I'm a beggar girl, basically, and I'm a foreigner to boot. So her head was very much into, I am a beggar, I am a beggar, I don't deserve this. So anyway, the relationship started to build. He gave her a posse. He said to his the girls that were female harvesters, he said, be part of them. Be part of a group. This is your life group right here. And he said to the guys, look after them and so forth. There was, as a young woman who was a foreigner, feeling a little disconnected, that life group gave her a sense of incredible community and engagement. You know where I'm going with this one, don't you? Next week is life group sign-ups. Please don't just see it as a churchy, okay, Pastor Case, we'll sign up for, it's not for him. He doesn't have a notch on his belt, say we've just crossed the 400 mark in life group. It's for you and I. We need it. We need each other. So even if you've been a serial non-life group attender, card-carrying member of the Never Again Life Group. Haha, it's in a group. It's a group, right? Don't think you're a group. You're in a group. Can I really encourage you to get over whatever and say, hey, I'm going to give it a shot because I think there's something powerful to be had there. So Naomi has an idea. She says, here's what I want you to do. When he's going to go to sleep tonight, wait till he's had food and something to drink, presumably some wine or something like that, and he's sleeping well. And she said, listen, darling, she said, like, dress yourself up a bit. You've been harvesting for a couple of days. Come on, let's be honest, have a bath. A bit of Chanel number 5, won't hurt. Put your best Sunday best on. Lie at his feet, uncover his feet, and of course he wakes up. What? Who's this? It's Ruth. That was akin to a marriage proposal. It worked well. They got married and they had a baby boy called Obed. Obed, that's an interesting word. Like, I mean, I know there are Obeds today, not a lot. It's like John, Pete, Obed. Okay, fair enough. Each to his own. Obed as a word is a very interesting one. We find it in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100, verse 2. And here's what it says. That verse said, serve the Lord with gladness. It's a great culture verse. It's like when we're Jesus followers, there's only one way to live, and that's grateful, thankful. There's no room in the Bible to be a hurt Christian. I'm hurt. Well, get over it. Jesus died for that stuff. He did his bit, you do yours. Let it go. Seriously, love. Let it go. It'll kill you. It'll be like a cancer on the inside. And so when she got into that situation, they got married, and this verse just as I've loved it all my Christian life. It says, "Serve the Lord with gladness," but in some versions it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness." What? You had one job, translator, and that was get the word right. Like, you're like, it's either serve or worship. It's both. And it's the word Obed. The same word. So think about this. Boaz was born in Bethlehem. Ring a bell? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. I'll give you another hint. Jingle bells, whatever. That's where Jesus was born. And that's not the end of the metaphor. Boaz was a type of Christ. He was able to redeem Ruth just like Jesus redeemed us. Ruth couldn't redeem herself. We couldn't redeem ourselves. Ruth was destitute. She was like a beggar spiritually. We were like beggars. Think about how hard it was for Ruth. The big leap from being a poor beggar girl, when even Boaz showed kindness to her, she said, "What? So what? Why are you doing this? I'm a beggar who's a foreigner. Why would you do this?" Imagine when Naomi said, "Lay at his feet. Show a sign of it." But I'm a beggar. He's not. See, there's something about what happens to all of us when we understand the fullness of the redemption. And that's why I love the series you're doing right now, Pastor Case, on mission. Last week, Pastor Case and I think Pastor Stacy spoke on knowing God. Love that. Next week, you don't want to miss it, it's experiencing the fullness of life. You see, so many of us get stuck in that gleaning or beggar mentality. When God, the little Ruth went from being a beggar to being the owner of the entire field. Some of us, even as believers, are still begging God rather than graduating to be owners of all that God has called us to. Just a thought. October last year, God brought a real firm challenge to my heart. Here's what it is. I'll cut to the chase. The message came through to me very clearly, not audibly, but in my heart, "You don't worship me anymore." I'm like, "Haven't gone to Baal worship or haven't turned to Buddha. What do you mean?" And "You don't worship." And I said, "God, on Sunday, you didn't hear me? Man, I was seeing." I've only got two volumes, full on or stop. People hear me often before they see me. My laugh, when I laugh out loud, the whole ground shakes. Like I'm loud. And I worship loud. And I said, "God, I was worshiping loud on Sunday. You should have been there." No, just joking. And the word came again, "You don't worship me anymore when there's no one around." Wow. Snap. And he was right. So I reordered my worship playlist. I called it New Worship. And then I've even graduated that to Power Worship. And pretty much every day, a couple of songs, just 5 to 10 minutes, just in the presence of God. Can't tell you what that does to your heart, just to focus on His greatness, not all the stuff that's going on. December, across my YouVersion feed, came a challenge to do the 30-day shred. Not physically. The 30-day shred was the challenge to read the whole Bible in 30 days, 1 month. And I went, yeah, right. I noticed the Holy Spirit wasn't laughing. He was challenging me. He said, "Come on, dude." And so January, I read the whole Bible, cover to cover. Took me about 2.5 hours a day, and sometimes three. But I can't tell you. And I'm not saying that, oh, you're a spiritual giant. Nah, because I've tanked many times over my journey in not reading the Bible for a couple of days at a time or whatever. I can't tell you, the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm not telling you to read the whole Bible. I'm saying just get into it. Get into it. This is your daily bread. This is not stuff about God. This is the living Word of God. God wants to feed your soul and feed your faith. And again, if I can give the men another clip, you know, so often we get very busy. We're good doing stuff. Just take some time. Take 5 minutes a day just to say, God, I want you to speak to me. Well, what that did, that built faith to be really obedient to God. We were in Manhattan, in Lower East Side. There were homeless people everywhere. And felt the Holy Spirit challenged me the next day to go to Cat's Delicatessen, which is kind of famous delicatessen down there. Make big hunkin' pastrami sandwiches as big as your head. Get 10 of those and give them out to homeless people tomorrow. Well, if it was cold the first day, it was like 20 degrees the next day. It was like we were rugged up. I'm got two big bags with 10 sandwiches. I can hardly find a homeless person. They've decided to be homeless under shelter somewhere. Finally looked like I found a guy that looked remotely homeless. I said, hey, want a sandwich? He said, sure. So someone else saw. I had eight left. So it took me ages to get rid of those. I got two left after about 45 minutes. I see this guy doing these ones in a little gated park. And he wasn't working out. He had a T-shirt on. He obviously had some mental illness, it seemed to me. And so I went, hey, buddy! I said, I've got a couple of Cat's sandwiches here. I don't know why I needed to advertise them, but Cat's sandwiches. By that stage, I was having trouble giving them away, right? And he sort of prowled over to me. And he snatched the sandwiches and he went, thank you very much. And then he was about to walk away and he looked back and he went, I love you. Ten sandwiches had very little to do with homeless people. It had everything to do with my hard, stinking heart. And when that man looked at me, dirtied face, just unusual, aggressive looking guy, when his eyes looked into mine, it was like Jesus pierced my soul. And that same Jesus that met me through a homeless man in Lower Manhattan is here today. And he looks at you in the eyes and he says, I love you. I love you. Would you just open your heart to me right now? Because I can do amazing things if you'll allow that to happen. Can we close our eyes? Just close your eyes. Bow your head for a minute. Here's what we're going to do. I promised you I'd pray for you, those of us here today. And I think there's many of you that if you're honest, if you can be a bit transparent, take the mask off, come out from behind whatever facade that we can so easily stand behind. Jesus is crazy about you. He loves you. He wants to bring healing and forgiveness for anything that would be standing in the way of you having a vital, vibrant, passionate connection and relationship with Him. If you say, Michael, that's me, that's exactly where I'm at, could you pray for me today? I'm bumping along the bottom spiritually. My heart's gone dry. My heart's gone cold. I was fervent. I was passionate, but somehow I just got caught up and busy. There are some here for the first time. And you go, wow, you think that could happen for me? Absolutely. 36 years ago, 37 years ago, I prayed this prayer, and it was the greatest prayer that I ever prayed. And I want to help lead you in that kind of prayer this morning. You say, Michael, that's where I'm at. What do? When I count three, when I hit three, every single one of you that says, Michael, include me in this prayer. Today, I want to rediscover the relationship with Jesus that appears to have drained out, or for the very first time. I want to come back into that sweet spot that I know God wants me to dwell. Here we go. One, Jesus Christ died that you and I might have life. Beautiful. He took your sin and mine. that would otherwise stand between me and the Father. He took that away. Means there's nothing, absolutely nothing, standing between you and a beautiful, fresh, intimate relationship with the God of the universe. But so often we can move. Two, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. When you hear his voice, don't diss him. Don't harden your heart, but lean in and respond to him. Here we go. In a moment, I'm going to simply say three. And everyone that says, Michael, pray for me, confidently and boldly, I want you to get your hand in the air. I want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you right now, lift it up. Three, right across the house. Many, many hands. Yes, yes. God bless you. Lovely couple there. Keep them up. Yes. God bless you. Right over there, the blue shirt and the light blue baseball cap. Yes, 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 yes. Lots of tears. I can see lots of God. The Holy Spirit's really moving here. Lovely lady in the center there. God bless you, lady in the black. God bless you here. Yes, go on, your champ. Amazing. Lovely lady there. Yes, at the back. Sir, right over on my far left in the corner. God bless you. Guy in the white shirt, just in front, him and lovely lady there. Who else? You haven't raised your hand, but you want to. Lift it up right now. God bless you, sweetie. Beautiful. God's on you. Lovely lady here, second row. The Holy Spirit's doing something in your heart. There's a healing work that's happening. There's a healing work. There's a whole lot of build-up stuff. There's a healing work. Anyone else, friend? Anyone else? Just going to cast my eye across the congregation one more time. Yep, right at the back there. Man, I'm glad we waited for you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. See that hand? You got the same sort of shirt my dad had on in that photo. This is beautiful, friend. Just focus in, not on me. I'm telling you, what I can see, there are dozens of people that, and there are tears flowing. And I can't do that, but the Holy Spirit can. He's doing it right now. He's bringing renewal. He's bringing restoration. And best of all, he's been building a reconnection of your heart to his. Can we pray this prayer? Now listen, whether you raised your hand or not, we're a family here that I know about this church. It's a church family. Let's pray like so fervently, as if the people with their hand raised, among them are your close relatives, those you love. Let's pray with a sense of faith and passion right now. Can we do that? Come on, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, come on, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son to pay the full price for my sin. I receive your forgiveness right now. With the help of your Holy Spirit, I want to live every day to please you. In Jesus' name, come on, amen and amen. Come on, why don't we thank God for each of those as we stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand.